This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Welcome into the whole show, powered by Chevron. This is kind of a semi-Rams weekly takeover thing. Kevin Lytle from the Colorado, and he is our Colorado State Rams insider, is in studio. It's been a while since you've been here, man. I mean, you were traveling.
I don't even know last time.
You were traveling all over the world, basically, with March Madness and Vegas and everything, man. So it's good to see you're still alive.
Yeah, it's good to be back in Colorado. I was kind of gone for a long time there.
Yeah, and the travel schedule that was nuts for CSU was nuts for you, too. Trying to figure out where you're going to go on short notice was crazy.
I put this on X of things they don't teach you in journalism school, how to be a travel agent, because it's really true.
I probably would still be there if that were me, Kevin. I can't figure that stuff out. I don't travel enough, so I'd be probably dead somewhere at this point.
That means maybe someone would look after you.
If you were there, I would just follow you around. Kevin, yeah. I'm going with you, man. I have so many questions for you today. Let's start at the top. John Weber. I know you did a piece on that, and you talked to Amy Parsons and John Weber while you were on your on the trip following the Rams. Is he the athletic director, and is CSU even looking right now?
Yeah, it's a good question. Obviously, that's now maybe moving to the forefront now that the basketball seasons are over. Obviously, we're in spring football, softball, track. There's sports still going on, but. But yeah, I had a chance to sit down with interim AD John Weber, CSU president Amy Parsons. I was going to have a group interview out there in Charlotte, talked about a lot of things. But yeah, that was one of the questions for Amy was timeline. Like, when do you expect to make, a permanent AD hire? And didn't give an exact one, but did say wanted all positions filled because obviously there's the interim AD spot right now, so the permanent AD, but also we know Steve Cunningham has left. Any other openings that might come, she said she wants all openings filled by football season because, obviously once you hit basically August there, it's got full steam ahead with everything. So it seems like sooner rather than later, and I think right now that seems like Weber's the front runner and probably the likeliest candidate. They didn't pin down any type of what the search looks like or where that may go, but it seems like Weber is has a good chance of being the guy.
Yeah, well, and again with the NIL work that he was doing with the Green and Gold Guard, that just seems like more and more where people are going at this point. They're looking at athletic directors that can lead that new world with NIL. The question is, Kevin, what is John Weber's skill set as far as the sports side of things go, vetting out coaches and schedules and everything else that goes into being an athletic director?
Yeah, obviously, in many ways, that position is becoming more a business position, especially there's a lot of the talk right now of, student athletes becoming, employees of the university. And that's sort of where NIL moves into a true payment structure. And obviously that would be a lot more business than sports in many ways. But yeah, there is, there's scheduling, coaching, hiring, firing decisions, all that type of stuff, which obviously all ends at the AD. But, you need a lot of people in a lot of different roles. So in some ways it's kind of like a head coach. You could be the best head coach in the world, but if you hire, you and me as your top assistants, you might not be in a great place. So yeah, if it's Weber or whoever it is, really, we'll need to hire, whatever that structure looks like, but good deputies around to do and be in charge of a lot of those things, from compliance to scheduling to the money, because one person can't do it all.
He entered at a really interesting time too.
Yeah.
I think it does seem like the majority of Rams fans were ready for Joe Parker to be done. So he comes in. He's already going to win favor there because people are excited about the change. But he also jumps in when basketball's rolling. It's an exciting time for Colorado State basketball. So he's jumping out, doing all the pictures, and I'm out here and all that stuff. Those are all fun. Those are all positives. It will be interesting to see. Because right now it's like this, and we don't know until they're committed, but it does feel like the honeymoon period. It's all good, man. It's all positive. Next year when we get into football season.
Yeah, it's kind of how change always goes. It tends to be exciting for people. You know, you can kind of project a future that you want. You know, it's the same as a, you know, coaching hire. When Jay Norvell came in, you know, that first spring obviously was nothing but good, you know, good vibes, happiness, you know, in similar ways, very present in public, you know, to the fan base and everything. Everyone's excited. And now, you know, some reality comes in. Not that it's a negative thing around Norvell, but, you know, when you have back-to-back non-winning seasons, you get a little bit more angst. So, yeah, in the same way, again, whether it's Weber or someone new, you know, what will happen when it's, you know, things are struggling, something bad happens, whatever that may be, you know, just on-field success isn't there. How, you know, how's that handle? How's that interaction go? Because that's, you know, that's just part of the job. It's a public job that it's easy in some ways to celebrate the big good times, but you know, you have to ride out some tough ones too, just because, you know, no athletic department rides nothing but highs.
Is he going to have to make a big, if he is the guy, is he going to have a big decision on his hands coming up? When you talk about Nico Medved and Ollie Faroque, when it's Kevin, 2 weeks ago, I thought one of those guys was for sure.
Yeah, same.
Gone.
I mean, I thought there was a good chance that that would happen, but now it's looking like, I mean, the coaching carousel is close to done from the high major, you know, perspective. USC is hiring Eric Musselman, so that now means Arkansas is open. But that's pretty much the last of the big jobs. And it looks like Nico Medved, I mean, I fully expect he's the head coach at CSU for the 24-25 season. And then Ollie Faroque-Benesh, I think there's more trickle down the coaching carousel in the mid-major realm that can still spin a little bit. But it seems like Ali is going to be back. He's a guy that he has a lot of options, I think, in a way of staying as a top assistant at CSU is not a bad thing for his career. He'll still have opportunity later, and he can be picky on whatever his first head coaching job is, that he doesn't need to just go take one just to take one. So he's in a pretty good spot, and you know, it's seeming likely that he's back too. So if you end up with both Medved and Faroque-Benesh back with CSU, that's it. The start of a winning offseason. Obviously, there's work to do in the portal and all that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think a lot of us thought there was a good chance one would be gone just because, you know, in a good way, because they both have good resumes that, you know, people are catching attention. I mean, Nico Medved just won a you know, person of the year, basically winning with integrity honor, you know, from a coaches association. So, you know, those are two guys that are very well known in basketball circles. So to hold on to them is important. And we'll see if it's just a hold on or if there's a contract extension for Medved that comes here. I know there's been talk of that. I know they've, you know, Amy Parsons said to me when I asked in Charlotte, obviously this was before the end of the NCAA tournament, I said, hey, you know, we all have the internet. We see Nico's name everywhere. And she admitted, which I appreciate because sometimes admins like to pretend that, you know, it's not out there. She said, yeah, you know, we all know that. We know it's very public. We really appreciate Nico and his whole staff, and we'll work to do everything we can to make this a place he wants to continue to grow and flourish in his career, which it's not just salary, but obviously that's part of it. So I'll be interested to see if contract extension could be in the works here, too.
Yeah, I would have put money on one of those guys being gone. And then the other question with Ali, Kevin, is that a situation where he looks at it and goes, well, if Nico's not gone now, he's going to be, so I'm going to stay here. Maybe that job will come open next year or whatever. Or do you look at it and go, if Nico didn't take this time seriously as far as leaving, he might be in this thing for the long haul.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why I say, like, for Ali, you're in a pretty good spot because you know, he's still a young coach. He's mid-30s. He has plenty of career in front of him. He's highly regarded as a recruiter and assistant coach. So, yeah, you can kind of play the long game of, you know, you're in a really good place here at CSU. So yeah, if Medved in the next, you know, 1, 2, 3 years ends up leaving and you step into that job, great opportunity. Or keep winning at CSU and you're going to have pretty good opportunities as a first-time head coach elsewhere. So I think he's in a spot he can play a long game. You know, you don't need to jump. It's not like he's at risk of being tagged as a lifetime assistant. He can hang and wait for the right opportunity, whether it's in Fort Collins or elsewhere. So yeah, I think that's, you know, that's a good thing for both, you know, on both of those coaches is, yes, they have opportunities, but they also understand that they're in a pretty good spot. Is CSU the number one job in the country? No. Is it a good job? Yeah, you're pretty well resourced for the level you're at. They've grown the fan base, so, you know, they've done a lot of that work on their own. They have a good fan base. They've proven you can win at a pretty good level, be a consistent NCAA tournament team here. So you can keep trying to grow that, and if, you know, the big and right opportunity comes, go for it. And hey, live in Fort Collins isn't like the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, I mean, there's always. And how true is this in college sports? And I'll tell you what, Kevin, I want to ask you this at the bottom of the hour. We're going to talk Avalanche next, coming up with Connor McGahee. Exciting news.
Absolutely.
As you guys helped share that out. KFKA will now be the NOCO voice of, not voice, but provider of Avalanche and Nuggets games. So we're pumped about that. Avs coming up today and Nuggets. We got Preps Baseball. Three games in a row, man.
All in. Huge day. And what a time to be broadcasting Avs and Nuggets games.
Yeah.
Fun spring upcoming.
The timing worked out perfectly. So we'll take a quick break. We'll give Kevin, we'll give him a break because he's already exhausted from being in here. And then we'll talk to Connor McGahee, the voice of the Colorado Avalanche. 16 after the hour. Don't forget, Avs fans, I got a pair of tickets for you for Sunday's game. Colorado and Dallas, Sunday night. That is a huge game. I'm going to give those away. In a few minutes. We'll be right back.
Keep it tuned to Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA for Preps Baseball.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Very fitting tune there, Angel. Great job by you. This is kind of a celebration-type day for us here at KFKA because for the first time in I don't know how many years, maybe never, I don't know, KFKA will be airing the Avalanche games, the Nuggets games for the remainder of the season and into the playoffs. It's so exciting and getting a chance to work with the great folks over at Altitude, like this guy, the voice, the play-by-play announcer of the Colorado Avalanche, Connor McGahee. Connor, it is an honor, man. It's an honor. That rhymes. Thanks so much for being on with us. There you go. Can you use that tonight at some point, please?
Oh, I try not to say my own name as much as possible. So, phrase, I'll leave that up to you. That can be your phrase if you want.
It just came to me. Genius stuff like that just happens once in a while.
That happens to the smart people. It just comes to
me. Man, we are pumped about this. Obviously the Avs are so much fun. A lot of people were expecting them to go do great things in these playoffs. But I just like the opportunity here for Northern Colorado listeners to hear you and Kaz on the air, clearly up here in Northern Colorado. So this is a big deal.
It really is. And when I was told about this, I was pumped because the technical side of things, they've been trying to improve it over the past couple of years, expand signal strength. But
sure,
you can't get everywhere. And as good a job as they have done, you do need affiliates. And we want to get to as many corners of the Rocky Mountain West as we can. And we had one in our own backyard that the box wasn't checked yet. So I'm glad we've finally done that. And, you know, I see and talk to plenty of people who come down from up north and, take a day or two off from the Eagles to come see the Avs. And it's just really special for us to be able to add the whole region up there. And Northern Colorado, it's perfect. It's our kind of people. And And I was absolutely thrilled when that announcement was made.
Well, and we're thrilled to have this one on tonight. We're going to carry both the Avs and the Nuggets games coming up. We have a Preps baseball game right before that, so we got the trifecta happening here. Connor, when you look at this game tonight, obviously the Avs want to quickly get the bad taste out of their mouth after a tough loss against a struggling Columbus team.
Yeah, and that was one of the instances of some days you eat the bar, some days the bar eats you, and you put 46 shots on goal and more than one should go in, but it was just not to be. But they have to sharpen things up again, because defensively Minnesota is one of, if not arguably, the best defensive team in the National Hockey League. And so this won't be easy either, even though Minnesota has about a 3% chance to make the playoffs. Again, sometimes these are the most dangerous games, and then you got to get on a plane, and we have to fly to Edmonton tonight to play the Oilers, who will be rested tomorrow. So it's not an easy sequence for the Avalanche here, but they just have to get in playoff mode, and we've seen what they can do when they do that, and they might just have to apply it a little bit early this season.
Well, and so much of it is important at this stretch, especially when you look at a back-to-back and that travel, that is intense.
Yeah.
Is staying healthy getting into the playoffs, too. That's a big thing.
Yep, and that's why they're not rushing Val Nichushkin back. However, he will meet us in Minnesota today, fly with us to Edmonton tonight, and hopefully be back in the lineup tomorrow, so that will be good. Jakob Trenin skated this morning. But is not going to be rushed back into the lineup, so he won't play tonight, could play tomorrow. So, as the great Benjamin Franklin once said, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And I think that applies to teams like the Avalanche when you're leading up to a playoff run, because the healthiest team wins and the luckiest team wins. And it's surprising how often those two paths cross.
Connor McGahey joining us, the voice of the Colorado Avalanche. The Avs get set to take on the Wild tonight, 5:30 pregame show there, and then 6 o'clock. You mentioned it with Minnesota, how these teams can be those desperate teams, you know, the chances of them getting in. I guess there's still a chance. So if you're a team like Minnesota, you're looking at it going, hey, the only way we can, you know, we darn sure can't do it if we lose, so the only thing we can do is win and hope everything goes our way. So this will be a desperate team.
Yeah, they have to probably win out and then get some gifts, because they have to hop over St. Louis, who is trending upward as well. Minnesota better at home. This is the second of a second to last of the home guest stand for them. So, look, this is, even though the Avalanche have won both games this year, they've kind of been slugfests. One goal affairs, the last one at home was in overtime, and that's just kind of how Minnesota has been forced to play with all their injuries and their cap restraints. I mean, this would have been Zach Parise, who's now playing on the Avalanche's last year here in Minnesota, being bought out. So, again, the Minnesota Wild paying Zach to not play for them. But that's hurt their depth and their ability to sign impactful players. So when that's the case, you just have to bear down and try and play a defensive style of hockey. But especially when you have a goaltending tandem like they do with Gustafsson and Marc-Andre Fleury, you can win hockey games that way. And so that's what the Avalanche should be expecting and are expecting here tonight at the X.
Well, and this one tonight, like you said, with the travel tomorrow and then Sunday. I mean, that's going to be a monster game right there coming up against Dallas. So it's not necessarily an easy schedule here as you're rounding out the season.
Yeah, biggest game of the season, I would say, Sunday versus the Dallas Stars. And I do believe that, I don't know if you've given them away yet.
We're going to.
They have a pair of tickets.
Yeah,
all right.
We're going to do that. Well, I figure we get you on, and then obviously we're going to get millions of listeners when you're on, so that's going to give us, you know, phone lines are going to go crazy.
Oh, no, I got to temper expectations now. No, whoever wins those tickets, is going to be one dandy of a game on Sunday. That's what a treat that'll be.
I couldn't believe we got the hookup to give those away. I was like, "Really? We're going to get a pair? This is a great relationship." And that game,
hey, we
is
take
must
care
be.
Of our people.
Man.
We take care of our people. You're not getting the Ottawa Senators on a Tuesday night.
No, and this is prime time. This is the game to go to, man. No question. And that Dallas matchup right there is going to be huge.
Yep. And the only bad part about it is you'll. Miss Mark Rycroft hopping over to the radio side to join me on Sunday. So that'd be the only setback for having to actually win the tickets and go to the game.
Yeah, well, somebody's going to be pretty pumped up for this one, no doubt. Connor, in your mind, when you're looking at the race, the MVP race, the Hart Trophy race, do you feel like what are the chances at this stage that Nathan MacKinnon's going to be able to take this thing?
He's the odds-on favorite.
Wow.
And,
wow.
You know, Vegas bets on everything, and they have Kucherov and McDavid at plus 500, I think, this morning. MacKinnon's like a minus 300 in that area there. But I just think that he's got to finish out the year. But I think he's shown on a consistent basis, really since the start of the season, that he's the one. Second star of the month in March, was first star of the month in the NHL in back-to-back months, December and January. So it's not just been the point production. He still has a chance to win the Art Ross too, but it's just, again, the definition of the trophy is the player who is most valuable to his team, and in our eyes and to the voters' eyes, that's been Nathan MacKinnon all year. Again, not just in spurts or here and there, but consistently. I mean, there's only been 12 games all season where he hasn't registered a point, which is frankly incredible. So as of right now, statistically, it's the best season by a skater in Avalanche history. And when that's the case, I think it needs to be rewarded. And people around the continent seem to agree so far.
How amazing would that be? I mean, obviously, we got the, you know, we're thinking big goals here. Nuggets and Avs parade. Let's do it in 1 year. And then there's a chance you might have two MVPs. I mean, this is, Avs fans, Nuggets fans, this is why we're so happy about this deal, this partnership, because there's never been a better time to be an Avs or a Nuggets fan.
I have to remind sometimes that we are very spoiled and that complaints will not be heard at this time because of what we get to see. And, you know, you could be, you know, for example, in Columbus right now where you don't have a GM, you don't really have a direction, you don't have any superstars. Not only do we have championships in this town very recently, but we have the best players in their positions on planet Earth doing it. And so we are very lucky. And like I said, now the good people of Northern Colorado get to hear it on a nightly basis. And I should probably just apologize ahead of time for what they're about to hear.
Well, I think they're going to absolutely love it. I know the skill set that you have. It's so much fun to listen to you. And then right after that, we're listening to Cause. It's a radio off there, man. It's great. I love it. Connor, my man, it's an honor to get you on the show. I hope we can keep doing this kind of thing. And we're looking forward to the call tonight.
Brady, anytime you want, I mean that call, and it's a done deal. So anytime you need me to come on, I'll do it.
Connor,
no problem.
Do you want to throw out a caller number or a trivia thing or anything you want, and then we'll give folks the number, and they can call in and win those tickets and come hang out and watch Avs on Sunday.
Oh, boy, that is a good one. That is a good one. Trivia, which franchise does Nathan MacKinnon have the most points against in his career?
That's a good one.
Which franchise does Nathan MacKinnon have the most points against in his career? You can pick the caller number.
All right, my friend. There we go. I love that. That is a great question by you. Connor, my man, have a great call. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Brady.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Connor, there it is, man. Connor McGahey. Great. I almost called him Connor McGregor right there, Angel. Okay, so there's the question. Do you think anybody's got Angel's got to find that answer first before they do? I don't know the answer to that. It's got to be somebody that they're playing on a regular basis. You got it? Oh! Okay, so the question is, if you want a pair of tickets to go see the Avalanche and the Stars on Sunday night, Connor just said, that's the game of the year. That's the big one. Dallas is ahead of them in the standings. It's huge. Which team is it? What was the question? Which team has Nathan MacKinnon scored the most against?
Scored the most points.
Points.
Against.
Points. Clear points. Not goals. Points. Which team has Nathan MacKinnon scored the most points against? Be the first caller to give Angel that name. I don't want to have to give you a hint. When do I give them a hint? Because people are scrambling. They're Googling right now. They can't find it. It's difficult. I can't give a hint yet. Be the first caller, and you got a pair of tickets. I need their email, Angel, their first and last name, and an email. 970-353-1310. Call us right now. Get those tickets. Give Angel the answer. You got. I'm getting some texts coming in. I don't know if we want to reward the text line, but call in and get those tickets right now. I need your email address. Avs Stars Sunday night, 34 after the hour. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Angel, did I do something to make you mad? What are you playing right now? He's killing me. You a big Nickelback guy, Kevin?
Yeah.
You are a big Nickelback
guy. Well, not big Nickelback guy, but I push back against the fake Nickelback hate.
I really don't like them.
I think it's...
You think...
Well...
Listen, I've been.
But you know, there was that trend where it's just like the coolest thing to do is make fun of Nickelback. Not that many people actually hate them. There's no way. It's catchy. It's mostly catchy.
I guess I did. Their first album was kind of okay, and then it just got the Photograph song really bugged me, and I didn't. Just not into it.
Nah, you're making.
It is the cool.
Actually,
thing.
You know, I'm gonna tell listeners this. You know, Brady's phone rang earlier. It was actually that
it
song.
It was. Yeah. Funny. Look at this Photograph. Kevin knew the answer to the trivia question.
I pseudo cheated.
Did you?
Yeah. My first thought was St. Louis, and then I went Minnesota. So
I should have known it would be Minnesota. I mean, like they play each other all the time.
That would make sense.
My guy Mike Rice, yep, the voice of the Bears, texted me and said, Minnesota, it was a wild guess. I'm sorry, I had to. That was the hint I was going to give, but apparently people got it. So we gave the tickets away.
Savvy listeners. I'll be tuned into the Avs tonight.
I'm surprised.
I'm a big Avs fan. They're like my first love.
Is that your go-to, your favorite team?
Yeah, because they moved to Denver when I was like, what, 7? It's like perfect time for impressionable kid. Obviously, they won immediately, which is good way to imprint in kid's memory. I played hockey. Yeah,
did you play? Did you play high school hockey?
Yep.
Dang, were you good?
No,
you messed around a little.
Fine.
Bit?
I played old man beer league for forever. So
can you still ice skate?
Oh yeah,
it never goes away.
It's like a bike.
Yeah. Who is your Avalanche Mount Rushmore? Are you prepared for that?
Oh, gosh, I'm not prepared.
Because we were going to do this.
I mean,
for
it's
CSU.
Changing right now. So, Wasakic, Forsberg are all starting points. McKinnon's got to be on there or getting on there. Makar's got to be on there or getting on there. So, who are we bumping if you're making me 6-4? And that doesn't even include, Blake Bork. You know, obviously, they were kind of short timers, but they won a cup. Foot. I mean,
there were some greats, especially in those late 90s when they won that first
Today,
one.
Today, I'd probably go with those original three, Wasakic, Forsberg, and McKinnon. But Makar's going to end up there. Like, he may end up the best Av ever.
Yeah, if they win
and McKinnon
cup,
could,
too.
Yeah. But, yeah, today, I'd say I'll leave Makar off for the moment with McKinnon on with those other three.
I think that's a fair one. I won't debate you on this. I got attacked by Woody Page over the weekend. I said the Aaron Gordon trade was one of the best trades in Colorado sports history. And he threw out a few Avs ones with me, but he threw out, was it Forsberg? The one Forsberg was traded when they were still
That was with the Nordiques.
So it depends on
how you want to count.
Yeah. Have you thought about your other homework assignment you were supposed to do, Kevin?
Not in depth.
Okay.
We're gonna have to circle back on that one.
Because I want Kevin to put together a CSU Mount Rushmore.
I might steal this, make a story too, a story radio combo.
Just trademark TM. Yep. Any money you make from that, let's split. Yep. 50-50.
Yeah,
does that sound reasonable? Because you'll probably get millions for that kind of a story.
Usually,
because nobody's ever thought to do.
Usually,
but no one's ever really put the CSU Mount Rushmore together.
We're gonna circle back. We're gonna do this because I want to
do a
general. Like CSU athletics overall, everyone's on the table.
Yep.
And then I want to do a couple sports specific, maybe the big three of football and men and women's basketball.
I think that would be good.
Yeah.
All right, we'll plan that at some point. CSU basketball, Kevin. I want to get to football too while we have you, because I know you were out at spring practice this morning. On the basketball side of things, obviously we talked about Nico and Ali, and it sounds like they're both coming back next year. When you look at this roster, there's a lot of changes coming for Colorado State. So it's it's going to be an interesting offseason.
Yep, this was always going to be a big offseason with, obviously, number one point, Isaiah Stevens. You know, this time last year we were debating, is Isaiah going to be back or not? Now, you know, we've known that answer since the day he announced he was coming back because he is fully out of eligibility now. And so that was always going to be huge. He is, you know, speaking of Mount Rushmore, he's definitely on the Mount Rushmore, arguably the best player in Colorado State men's basketball history. So that's a big one. Then you had five guys out of eligibility, and they're five of your, what, top seven probably in your rotation, maybe even six. So that's a big, I guess seven, but that's a big change right there. And then you throw in, we knew there'd be a few transfers. There are three guys right now, Tavy Jackson, Javonte Johnson, Jack Payne, all entering the portal. So that's eight open spots. You have four high school signees. So basically CSU has four spots, and probably at least two of those will go to, you know, guys that will start next year. And there's, you know, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. Now, that also means you have flexibility to do work. You know, of course, there's some worry from fans right now because there always is this time of year. But, you know, Neek Clifford, Joel Scott, we didn't, you know they were coming till late April last year. And, you know, CSU's looking for similar type of impact players to come in and be good right away. But this is kind of just what college basketball is. You work to have an old veteran team, but that means they're not going to be around that long. So now there's a new wave coming in. They'll try and develop some of these young guys, but they're not going to go full youth next year. You know, you have to bring in veterans because you win with age in college basketball these days. The era of, you know, kind of freshman running things is done.
Kevin, I kind of rage tweeted last week. I kept seeing all the Rams fans. Every time a buff would, there was news that a buff would hit the portal, you had so many Rams fans were like, come over here, come over here, come over here. And it's like, and I'm not knocking CSU. I'm just saying that, wouldn't that kind of feel like a lateral type movement if you're CU? Like, why would you transfer from CU to CSU if you're a starter? And then people brought up Neek Clifford, and like, that's a completely different situation. Neek, for whatever reason, just wasn't going to be a consistent, you know, scoring option guy for Tad Boyle. And it made sense that he would go somewhere else where he could be a feature.
Yeah, that was a very unique situation. A guy that CSU had recruited really hard, had basically decided between CU and CSU originally out of high school. And then, yeah, program fit. So, yeah, I mean, is that going to be a pipeline? No. Of the guys that have left CU, you know, Javon Hadley's going high major. I've heard Iowa State is, you know, probably the front runner. Who else?
Eddie Lampkin.
I don't think he's a fit, and he'll be – well, actually, he committed. He's going to Syracuse.
Okay, there you go.
So he'd be a high major. The only one that I think, you know, is CSU's maybe recruiting is O'Brien.
Which makes – that
which,
does
again,
make
is a potential fit. But, yeah, for the most part, it's just – like, yeah, it's, you know, a convenient thing to discuss because they're local and people are aware of these players. But, you know, there aren't a lot of connections. You know, O'Brien, if I'm – he's a Colorado kid, I believe, so – so, you know, they may have a prior connection. I don't know that for sure. So those are the ones that make sense. But, yeah, like a Hadley and Lampkin, like those were just never happening.
Yeah, you know, it just I finally just got enough of it, and I just rage tweeted. It happens sometimes, Kevin.
Yeah, it does happen.
All right, coming up in the next segment, Kevin's going to join us for our final segment, how we wrap this thing. What did we learn this week? What did Kevin learn this week? Let's find out. Also, I want to pick his brain about some of the big things he's looking for when it comes to Colorado State football, as they're knee-deep in spring football at this point. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Scores, interviews, and more. Preps Rewind with Mike Danson. Saturdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
What's up, guys? It's Jack Howell, safety for the Green and Gold. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a space.
friend and sight. What you learn today?
What did we learn on this fourth day of April? I learned a lot, man. I mean, we had Cause on. We had McGahee on talking Nuggets and Avs. I learned that maybe the bench unit for the Nuggets, we should be perhaps a little more concerned about than even I was letting on. Because when you hear Jason Kosmitsky say, I'm really, really concerned, that has me concerned. Angel, what did you learn today?
I learned that the Rockies are battling empathy versus apathy.
That's very
you
good.
Feel bad or you very just good. Feel, nah, nothing.
I feel like I got to make jokes about it. Kevin, what did you learn this week, man? I know you weren't here all day, so there wasn't enough for you to learn. But throughout the week, you learned some stuff.
I learned that spring football is interesting. I knew
is
that,
it?
I guess. But it's interesting. I learned that CSU has some intriguing new players. Not enough to say if that means really good new, really bad new. It's not really bad new, but you don't know what that level is, but it's just very fascinating seeing them fit in. Because you see, you know, guys commit, you know, you look at the resume, where they were, all that, but then you see them on the field and start to project where they can fit in. And I've been watching some cornerbacks, and that's just a really tough position. I mean, again, you know it, but man, watching them work up close. I was watching this morning a drill, like basically fighting for space, receivers versus corners, you know, to put it very broadly. And man, that's a tough job because you do anything and they throw a flag. They had, you know, kind of one of these refs out there that can help teach them. And yeah, it's just like, well, do you know what you did there? It's like, oh my gosh, every time. Oh. It's a tough job, man.
Yeah.
Especially because seems like I think it's just the way offenses are going. The really big, long, athletic kids all end up at receiver. So you're tend to be overmatched on size as a corner, and you're basically not allowed to touch anyone. So anyway, good luck.
Yeah.
Go have fun.
I'm with you. It's my favorite position
to watch. So it's cool to watch. I enjoy watching corners work.
Yeah. Well, okay, so what position are you looking at right now for CSU that's like the biggest question mark?
That might be it because, you know, you lost your two top guys really in Chiggy and Newsom, and then you had TJ Crandall, the freshman, transfer out to West Virginia. So really, you lost your top two guys. They brought in Isaiah Sissima, who was last at Nevada, and then Elias Larry, who was at Navy. You have Dom Morris played a lot there. You have some young guys that haven't seen the field a ton yet, but that's obviously in modern college football, you have to have, you know, decent secondary play, and you know we just haven't seen a lot of those cornerbacks play, at least at CSU, much.
It's interesting because that defense 2 years ago, when we thought it was going to be all about air raid, fort air raid, all that stuff, the defense actually was the good thing to build around. Last year maybe took a step back in the other direction, so we'll see if they round it out next season.
Yeah, it's going to be important. I mean, I feel like the offense is going to be somewhere from good to very good, depending on a variety of factors, how they replace Holker, how BFN progresses, but I think its baseline is going to be good. But the defense, yeah, is a big question mark. And some of, you know, the defense needs the offense to help them more. You know, the offense turned the ball over too much, you know, had too many big lulls in games last year, which obviously does negatively affect the defense. But the defense also gave up way too many big plays in important times, you know, the end of the CU game, end of the UNLV game, end of the Hawaii game. But yeah, that defense, it's going to be important for them to be solid. And you lost... You know, you mentioned Chiggy on the cornerbacks, but then obviously Mo Kamara. I mean,
right, which hurts the entire thing.
Yeah, how are you going to replace those, you know, 12 sacks or whatever it was? That's, you know, it's not going to be a one-person job. You know, you're not going to tap, you know, Nur Gatkuth is an exciting prospect, but you're not just going to tap him and be like, well, just do what Mo did. You know, that's just not how it works.
Well, and I know, and we got about a minute here, Kevin, I know with Braden Fowler-Nicolosi on the offensive side, that's going to be something we're going to be paying close attention to.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this time last year, last April, he was your number three quarterback behind not only Clay Millen, but Jackson Stratton. And he had a good summer, really took over in fall as the number two, and then obviously we know what happened during the season, so he's getting more reps than ever before, and it's huge for him to make, you know, significant strides forward.
No question about it. Kevin will be following closely all things when it comes to spring football. If there is any news to report on basketball, you'll be there. John Weber is the athletic director. There's really only one place to go, and that's the Coloradoan, or I guess your Twitter account too.
That too.
A good one.
That too. At Kevin_Lytle.
Kevin.
We have lots of fun or whatever.
I'm going to quote that. We have lots of fun or whatever. That's a
pretty good summary for the Twitter experience.
That's going to be on a t-shirt very soon. Kevin, thank you so much, man. Always
great
appreciate
to be back
you.
In studio.
All right. We got baseball. We got hockey. We got basketball coming up later this afternoon on KFKA. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.